Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
And it's a special day, Rokon. A great day for the station. A station that we both love and are honored to be part of. You've got some important news that's been shared today.
That's true. Robert Feeder is reporting today in his on his website, robertfeeder.com, that I am going to be here. They have agreed to accept me to be here until the year 2020.
That sounds like a long way away, but
that does
really
sound
not...
like a, that does sound like a long
2020.
Time. 2020. Yeah, when my representatives came to me with the deal, and I said, "Well, what? I couldn't do the math." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Here's the extension. What is it? What is it for?" And the year 2020, which I thought was like the future. We'd be flying around in cars, and there would be no crime. Mm-hmm. It would be like a Stevie Wonder song. It would just be the future, and everybody would be in love.
That you need a spaceship to even get there too. But I love the words about you. Incomparable, Rokon, is what Robert Feeder said. And
that
then
really
I loved all your words too about the honor of being part of this tradition and this station. It's really awesome.
Yeah. So and thank you. I mean, I couldn't do it without the people who are listening to us right now, who've chosen to spend time with us every afternoon between 3 and 7. And if they didn't choose to do that, WGN would have done what I predicted they were going to do, which is can my keister in the first number of months. But it worked out.
Well, it's awesome working with you. And
thank you. It is as
well deserved. Congrats.
And the whole damn team. Now, the team is, we've shuffled the roster around a little bit here.
So we got substitutions.
Kim Gordon starting at news, and Andy Mazur starting at sports today.
I'm a good pinch hitter.
Yes.
She is.
But these are great, what I would call, these are great veterans that you bring in that help in the locker room.
Trade deadline thing, yeah.
Yeah. And it's good. You just want to, you guys are like David Ross. We just want you on the roster and we want you to play as much as you possibly can.
Well, thank you. And congratulations to you. It's very exciting.
Thank you. All right. Now, Mike Monaco is in the studio. He does not seem quite as excited by this.
I'm excited about it. And let me say this. I think cars will be driving themselves in 2020.
They already are, kind of. 2025? Yeah. I'm going to be here until the beginning of the Iowa. I'll be here to like the Iowa caucuses of 2020. They might want to extend one more year there because I want to be there for the big Kanye West debate versus Donald Trump.
Trump in his second term.
Right, as he's running against Kanye West.
We think these are history-making times. Watch out, 2020.
Exactly. So true.
Well, congratulations, Ro and Anna. Congratulations to both of you.
It's been quite a
ride.
It's been very, very fun so far. Yeah. And as I said to them, it's going to be fun till we're number one, and then we'll all hate each other. That's how that goes. I've never seen that fail. So it's best to be, it's best to be where we are. On the rise. It's good.
On the
rise is good.
You're incomparable.
Yes, that's true.
Wouldn't you say so, Mike Monaco?
Or incomparable.
Mm. Yeah, incomparable. I don't know. However you want. I think it's both.
Yeah.
But... it's weird.
You are.
Is that how you say it? Incomparable?
Both ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't sure when I read that today. I was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's one of those words. Yeah. Wait a minute.
You cannot compare anybody with me. Does that mean?
Without an equal in quality or extent, matchless.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. I'll take it.
That's good.
So, oh, my God, is that nice.
Oxford Dictionary.
It's good for you, Ro.
Good stuff.
Good.
I don't know if that's what he meant when he said it, or typed it.
It was late at night, I'm sure, when he typed it.
I'm sure.
He wasn't sure either.
Right. He was like, you know what? Oh, I got to add this. Hold on a second. Oh, incomparable. Okay,
he's very
whatever.
Choosy with his words. That'll be
confusing enough.
Anyway, it was very nice of him, so thank you very much. Yeah. All right. Coming up, Mr. Monaco is going to help us understand what happened here in California with this other judge in California. California is filled with judges who are making national attention. This is the one up in Northern California, up in the Bay Area, who... was the sentencing judge, the trial and sentencing judge in the Stanford rape case, and it is this guy, more than 1 million signatures.
Yeah, Judge Persky.
Have been filed now for his removal. And now that's from all over the country. We'll talk about what all that actually means and what does that mean.
The other judge, is from Indiana, Northern Indiana, and I knew his brother. His brother was a criminal prosecutor here in Chicago.
The one in the Trump case.
Curiel,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that, too. All of that comes your way. But first, Violetta Potter Medic has got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
And then there's this week on a very special Chicago's Best. Check out which restaurants took the win in the battle for Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right. Mike Monaco is here. Let's talk about this case in California, the Stanford rape case. Do you think that the 6-month sentence given to Brock Turner, based on the evidence that was presented, which was that this woman was unconscious and that he was...
He was accused. He was convicted of penetrating her. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was...
Penile
penetration, right. But it was fingers or whatever. And so that's, you know, it's still terrible. Now, what's interesting in the case, though, he was stopped by two graduate students.
Right.
And chased. So
And then held by them.
So you don't know what he would have done to her. But now you can only sentence him for what he actually did. And what he did was not good. Obviously, it was terrible, and he should have been in prison. Should he have been in prison for more than 6 months? Probably he should have been. Let me say this though: Stanford did the right thing. Stanford, because this today in 2016, there are more of these cases on campuses, and we represent a bunch of them all over America, where college kids drink, and inevitably the next morning people get upset, they have regrets, and women call the school. And the schools treat these cases very seriously, throwing out students every day. Every day, kids are being thrown out of colleges because of exactly this. And that's because of Title IX. The schools have gotten told by the Department of Justice that they're prosecuting these cases. Now, what Stanford did, Stanford did not take the case intramurally within the school. They sent it to the local prosecutor, which was the smart thing to do, mm-hmm. which is ironic because very often in these cases, they don't send them. And there is no publicity about the cases, but they're on campus and the campuses treat them harshly in the sense that they throw the kids out of school, but they don't send them to jail.
Mike, there's a legal issue here at the very center of this, which I don't think has been clearly defined. You talk about consent, and when can you consent to sex? Obviously, we knew in this case she was unconscious.
So
she
could not have consented. Exactly.
But being inebriated, being very drunk, is there a consent possible in those cases?
So if a person is drunk and yet alert,
can you give consent? Yeah.
Yet alert, yeah, they can consent. Sure, they can consent. I think that's our row in the past has gotten most of his girlfriends, you know, when they're in that situation, you know, they're not completely
charming,
not
handsome
completely
row. Are you kidding?
Inebriated, but they're alert. Certainly they're alert.
That's the only time they marry me.
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
is when they're actually.
I think the problem here was that the judge ruled the verbiage he used. He said he ruled that a longer prison sentence would have had a severe impact, quote.
Right. Well, that's
impact
true.
On Turner, it sort of seems so disrespectful to the victim by saying he can't serve
longer than six months,
but she was put through hell.
So this case, like federal cases, there was a probation officer. The probation officer interviewed everybody, and the probation officer made a recommendation to the judge. We think the recommendation was for just about this sentence because the probation officer, we think, told the victim that. And that's why the victim wrote that 12-page letter and read it in court because she was expecting something like this, and it happened. And it's
so she wanted to tell her side of the story so that the world understood that what happened to her and the shatter that occurred in her life,
it's terrible.
Is so much greater than what a 6-month sentence
appears to have
would balance in the world of justice.
That's exactly right. That was very well said, mm-hmm. Ro.
Thank you. And when you balance it with the case of Corey Beatty.
Who was
a football standout at Vanderbilt, 19 years old.
Yeah.
He was accused of raping a woman, an unconscious woman, and then carrying her back to her dorm room.
Right.
And he was sentenced in Tennessee to 15 to 25 years in prison.
Right. And the fact, of course, you know, he's a young African-American man, and Turner, of course, is not. And that's the obviously the big difference here, and it's terrible that happens in America, but that's the truth. It does happen in America.
Do you see any other legal reasons why, when you look at that case versus this one, there might have been a larger sentence?
Possibly in this case because the penetration was digital. Possibly that's one reason, I suppose. I suppose that's less heinous, if you will, than if otherwise. But it's hard to say exactly that what makes it. that great
less
a difference.
Venal, perhaps. Less I don't know venal, if it's less right. heinous, but it's less yeah. venal. And the and in this case there was video in yes. the Corey Beatty case yes. of him carrying the girl back to the right. dorm room and all that.
But here you had two eyewitnesses who chased him and caught him.
Mm-hmm. I don't pretend to know the details of the Beatty case very well, and the details I know of this Brock Turner case are details from that letter.
Right.
Right. Right. I mean, we had Ashley Banfield on this week to talk about that letter. She spent her entire show on Tuesday reading it.
Right. That was very, very moving.
Very powerful.
Congress is going to be reading it next week. Members of Congress will read the Stanford rape victim's letter in its entirety.
Really?
Portions of it today. So it's already in the congressional record.
Yeah. Hey, I want Donald Trump to have to read it and see what happens there.
Can you get through it? Teleprompter or no teleprompter?
Yeah, no. Yeah, teleprompter, please. Because I could see Trump doing the exact same thing. What? It was 20 minutes. What? All right. Now, here's the question I have about that guy right now for you. This other case is Curiel case. You knew the brother. You knew Curiel's brother.
Yeah, Curiel's brother was a lawyer here in Chicago. Tony Curiel, and he was a good lawyer, great lawyer, and the family's a wonderful family.
He's still in the Chicago area, I believe.
I think so. Wonderful family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for Trump to be so accusatory, just because he has a Mexican background, is just unbelievable.
So what happens here to the judge? I mean, at some point, if they get an unfavorable ruling in Trump University, they'll appeal it based on judicial malfeasance?
Well, that's a good question.
Because they intimidated him?
And this is oddly what happens occasionally sometimes in these cases, because if you are so insulting to a judge and you bring up something that may not rise to a reason why he should recuse himself.
Like this exact moment.
Exactly
yeah.
like this.
Yeah.
But you're so insulting to him that the judge may feel it'd be appropriate to get out of the case. So the judge may.
Do they let judges out of cases?
Well, sure. The federal judges have every reason, almost any reason to get out of a case, they can get out of a case. And so this federal judge could say, you know what, because of the appearances of mm-hmm. the appearances that have been raised by all of these terrible things that Mr. Trump has been saying about me, I'm recusing myself.
Would you suggest that he do that?
Well, it may be helpful to him to do that. I suppose, on the other hand, no. What the next thing that happened was someone asked Trump, what if you get a woman judge? Would you feel it?
What if you get a Muslim judge?
A Muslim judge.
Or someone with disabilities or a veteran.
Yeah, exactly, right. A lot of different people.
Someone who's a POW.
Exactly. So there are a lot of people that Mr. Trump has offended. So I don't think
Democrats.
Exactly. I don't think Judge Curiel should recuse himself.
It's kind of cowering to pressure, maybe.
But some judges do that. I mean, because
it'd be better because there's another judge who bangs him even harder. You know, the funny thing about
the
irony of this is that Judge Curiel, we are told, has ruled in favor of Donald Trump's lawyers and seven motions and only against them in three.
Is Petroselli one of Trump's lawyers? The fellow that I think he prosecuted. OJ in the civil case.
Petrocelli, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I've heard that. I've heard that Trump's lawyers are saying the judge is fine.
Yeah, no. Stop it!
I know, so it's hard to say.
Have you ever had a client who's criticized the judge or done something untoward to the judge? You're like, shut up.
I was in court once. And I sat down next to a fellow I know. He said, Mike, you may not want to sit next to me. I said, why? He said, I filed a motion with the judge to recuse himself because in the past he's ruled against policemen. I said, oh, really? So sure enough, the judge was so mad that day, and the judge recused himself because he did not, and the judge let this lawyer have it in court because it was...
Oh, that. It's in the record.
Yeah, exactly. Because the judge had been a federal prosecutor, and he's been a very, very terrific judge. So this was...
Most are, right?
Most federal judge. You become a federal judge, you've got to go through
a
lot of hoops.
Yeah. Know? I mean, there's some state court
judges.
And
they're very... most of them are very attractive, too.
Yeah, and they've just gotten... Didn't they just lose weight, too? Did you see their new haircut?
Yeah.
At least that's what I say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God, you're a good-looking man. Yeah. I'm almost...
My God, Your Honor, it's hard for me to even pay attention. You're so shockingly attractive. Yeah.